Hey friends, I'm super excited to bring you this episode today. A lot of the things that we're going to discuss today focus on grief, death, mental health, depression, anxiety, and many other topics. All of these things have to do with jujitsu because we're going to talk about Mallory's journey through a lot of grief and a lot of things that have happened through jujitsu. I wanted to give you this precursor today just so you know about the topic that's going to come up and also to offer some resources so that you know that if you need help, there's someone out there to help you and you're not alone. One of the best resources out there is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. You can find information at www.nami.org. NAMI has a helpline and you can reach them every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Eastern Time. They can be reached through 1-800-950-NAMI. That's 1-800-950-6264. You may also text their helpline to 62640. You can also email NAMI at helpline@nami.org. If you need immediate help in a crisis, you can use the 988, which is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can dial or you can text 988 if you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health crisis. And you can get connected to a trained crisis counselor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Crisis counselors listen empathetically and without judgment. Your crisis counselor will work to ensure that you feel safe and help identify options and information about health services in your area. You may also use the crisis text line. You can text HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to 741-741. Here you will be connected with a trained crisis counselor to receive 24/7 free crisis support via text message. Another resource is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. You can call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. There are trained expert advocates available 24/7 to provide confidential support to anyone experiencing domestic violence or seeking resources information. Help is available in Spanish and in other languages. Another resource is the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. At this line, you will be connected with trained staff members from sexual assault service provider in your area that offers an access to a range of free services. There are also some very specific LGBTQ+ resources that I think are really helpful. There is the Trans Lifeline, which can be reached at 1-877-565-8860. Another fantastic resource is the Trevor Project. You can go see all the things they have online at www.thetrevorproject.org. You may also call them at 1-866-488-7386. They can also be reached by text. You can text 678-678 to reach the Trevor Project. You can also chat with them online. If you go to the website, they have a chat function as well. Many of these different resources can be used for you or someone around you. Don't be afraid to get help. I spent a really, really long time in my life with a depression and anxiety, and I wish that I would have spent time earlier to realize that I needed help. So I hope that this episode inspires you to hopefully reach out if you need help. Or just to tell those around you, hey, I'm here for you. Because I think some of the most important things in life are just being there for each other. I'm very excited to announce that I'm going to be competing at Battle Grappling February 11th. It's going to be held at 10th Planet Portland. And you can get tickets at www.battlegrappling.com/shop. There you can buy tickets to be at the event. It's going to be super fun. I'm really excited. If you can't get an in-person ticket, you can watch the show on flowgrappling.com. So if you have a Flow Grappling account, February 11th, we're going to be on there. It's going to be a Queen of Hearts tournament. I'm really excited. I have a there's four of us in the black belt bracket, 145 in the gi, EBI rules, sub only, super excited, $1,000 cash prize. What? I love a promotion that pays, and especially this promotion is doing this all women's show. I'm super into it. So battlegrappling.com, go over there, get your tickets, come check it out, get a Flow Grappling account if you don't have one, watch it there. I'm going to be bringing home that belt, I'm going to be bringing home that money, and you know when I get money, the gym gets fun things. So really excited. I'll see you Battle Grappling February 11th. Hello, my friends. Welcome to today's episode of Jiu Jitsu is Hard. We're in my car and it is raining, so you may hear some raindrop sounds in the background. Maybe that's why I feel like I'm giving my smooth late night radio voice.
Yep. Smooth jazz.
That's smooth jazz.
Yeah.
Or Delilah. Smooth jiu jitsu. Sure.
you're leading meditation, right?
Yes,
now.
Yes. A little bit
you
like
may
that.
Hear the, people hear the are like, on the roof.
Oh my God.
We're just feeling so balanced.
What is happening right now?
So I'm here with Jen and Mallory, as you figured out now in the first 30 seconds of this episode, what's going on here. We just got done with jiu-jitsu for the day, and I'm feeling really good. How are you guys feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah. So I wrist locked
me
you yesterday, and I also wrist locked somebody else today, right at the last 2 seconds,
nice.
So that I could get the. Oh, it was Christian. I did it to Christian.
Yes,
that's
perfect.
Right. Because I keep looking at the timer to see how much time I have left, and if I don't have any time left, really, I just like grab their arm and see if I can wrist lock them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Jen wanted really to do fun. That in one of the positional rounds. She's like, Katie did it to me yesterday, so I'm passing it on.
Hell yeah.
And then Mallory has to pass it on to a white belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mama.
Definitely, definitely. So I think, first of all, we need to talk about what just happened last weekend at the tournament, because somebody got three gold medals.
Well
blue
deserved.
Belt debut, never heard of. Like, okay, I was thinking about it. Remember when you started jiu-jitsu, you started in class with me.
Mm-hmm.
You literally came to your first jiu-jitsu class with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you did your first competition as a blue belt,
mm-hmm.
and you got 3 gold medals, 7 matches, 1 draw, 6 subs. All the subs were under a minute.
Four of them were under a minute. Yep.
Which is incredible. And like the performance level after all the things that you have gone through and been through is incredible. When I think about what we're actually going to talk about today, and then also like back to your competition, like that is unheard of. And the thing that legends are made of is what mm-hmm. I think. And yeah. I think that needs to be recognized. And I'm really proud
thanks.
Of you.
Thank you.
So like, how do you feel? How does your body feel? Because you were back in the gym today.
I was. I feel really good. Probably my grips were really sore. So my forearms were really sore. But other than that, like, I didn't feel like I got beat up that bad, so I really wasn't all that sore.
It was 12 minutes worth.
Yeah, but I was so tired, though. Like, it's amazing how fatigued you get, even, mm-hmm. like, just because all day your yeah. mind's on and you're, like, you know, amped up and adrenaline and, oh, my gosh. So I was just exhausted. I did nothing the next day.
It's mentally exhausting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
that's a big piece is that mental exhaustion mm-hmm. from the lead up. And mm-hmm. then the adrenaline all day
yeah.
and the dumps, multiple yeah. of them because you're going mm-hmm. on and off.
Yeah.
Multiple divisions.
Yeah.
I had big plans to like be productive on Sunday and then
that's hilarious.
I got up and watched football and then I was like, I'm going to take like a 30 minute nap, slept for 4 fucking hours.
Yeah.
Good.
So I was like, all right, well, guess I'm not doing anything, but it's fine.
That's good
it's
for
fine.
You.
I'm here for it. I loved it.
Yeah. So. 100%. Mm-hmm. Good. I think I really just want to get into it because
okay.
I know that you have an intention for today.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was really excited about was that you text us and were like, oh, this is exactly what I'd love to talk about if you don't mm-hmm. mind. And I was like, yes, please, because it's a really important story that I think a lot of people need to listen to. And I think that what I find really interesting is how positive that I see you
and how much you've been through and the grief that you've had to really work through. Mm-hmm. So how has jiu-jitsu helped you work through your grief, work through your mental health issue? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that?
Yeah. So, like the past year and a half, I mean, ever since I started jiu-jitsu, I've dealt with just like so much change and grief in my life. I mean, mm-hmm. when I first walked into the gym was like in the middle of my cousin, who was 2 weeks apart, mm-hmm. like right in the middle of her journey with cancer. And she died last year. But I mean, the first time I ever competed, like one of the reasons I competed because she like encouraged me to, mm-hmm. and she was like, dude, like you're going to be mad if you don't, just do it. And she, you know, she's always just, you know, she just pushed me to do it. So it was, you know, I did it for her, I feel like. And, you know, so, and I remember I have it screenshotted, like when I sent her a picture for my first tournament and she was like, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm so glad you did it. And so that working, like starting jiu-jitsu during that time and having that outlet to kind of like quiet my mind and I don't know, just like work through that stuff on the mat and kind of like getting it out, like getting that energy out and mm-hmm. getting that space where you're not like in your head and thinking, you know, all of the worst things.
Right.
So Jordan passed away last October. And then, so, you know, I dealt with that, but, you know, still dealing with it.
Tell us about Jordan as a person. Like, Jordan. Like, I feel like what's really important here is to get to know the people mm-hmm. that we're talking about, because I did not know Jordan, but mm-hmm. it was very clear to me that they're extremely important to you. Mm-hmm. And we were all here through those things. And mm-hmm. so Jordan to us as a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like, right. Let everybody in on
right.
your companion here, because I mean, it was, you like grew up. Like,
we did grow up
super close.
Yeah. So she's my little cousin. She was the youngest granddaughter of like our side of the family. We went to school together. We graduated together. We walked, you know, down hand in hand Ooh. At our graduation. She always used to joke that like the only reason that she had friends is because she was my cousin. She's so,
that's what I love about so families. Forced to be friends.
But we did always have fun together, and I don't know. We kind of drifted apart a little bit after, you know, once we got into college and stuff, and she did her thing and I did mine, but you know, when she got sick, it really kind of brought us back together. And I mean, I don't know. It was like, obviously that's not the way you want to like rekindle a relationship, yeah. but she'd been through so much in her life. I mean, she's got two babies at home. She's got a little girl, Nola, and her son, Royce. So they're so cute. I don't know. She was funny. She was musical. She was, you know, so brave, and she had a very dark sense of humor. So one of, during her journey with cancer, she did have one of her legs amputated. Mm-hmm. So one of her favorite things was like sending amputee memes. Like,
right.
Like I loved it so
That's
much.
So great.
And now like whenever I come across shit like that, like I always send it to my sister. Like,
right.
There was one like around Halloween where somebody dressed up as a gingerbread man with their leg bitten off because they only had their
right. Because they only had that's so clever.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, Jordan would have loved that.
Tell me, what was Jordan diagnosed with?
Okay, so she was diagnosed with stage 4 sarcoma. It started as like a little like kind of bug bite like looking thing on her leg. Mm. It was just like a little bump, and I mean, she's a single mom working, you know, mm-hmm. 60 hours a week, so she put it off, you know.
So it was just a small bump.
Just like a small thing, and then it kept getting bigger. And I remember her saying that she's like, I don't know, I was like going to the gym. And,
did it hurt?
And she said it just like, she thought she maybe she'd like pulled a muscle or she just did something to it. But then it kept getting bigger and bigger. So by the time that she got in, it was like the size of like a baseball probably.
Oh,
and like
gosh.
Advanced to stage 4 sarcoma. Oh, so, God. I mean, she did like chemo and like immunotherapy, she did all the things that she could, and the pain, like mostly for like the reason that they amputated it was for pain management. It wasn't like gonna cure her at all, you know. Mm-hmm.
So it was very painful.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, she could like, she was hobbling around, like she had to like scoot up the stairs like on her butt because she had a lot of trouble getting around.
Oh my gosh.
Which was so hard, you know, when you have two young kids. Mm-hmm. And so I remember she really struggled like with the decision of if she was going to do the amputation or not. Cause she was always like, oh, like the kids have already seen me go through so much. Like, I don't want them to see me like lose a leg, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know, she's just had to make so many tough decisions, and she's been so through so much in her life that mm-hmm. it's not my place to like share all of those things, but
right.
she is just such a fighter, and she's gone through more. She went through more than most people should like ever go through in their entire life in like her 30 years, you know?
Right. So. And that's very difficult to see someone that's like your age going through it. I mean, mm-hmm. this, it's very rare, right?
Right.
So it seems super rare. So it's just like, don't let things,
right.
don't let things
yeah.
go.
Right.
If
yeah.
you think that
checked
something
out.
Is wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get it looked at
sooner rather than later. Yeah. yeah. And like the field that I work in, like I work with a lot of, you know, women who are getting breast cancer treatment or mm-hmm. been through breast cancer treatment. And I just get more and more women in their 30s. And it's just
wow.
like, I had a new patient the other day who is, you know, who's 33 or 34. And she had already had, like, she just got done with chemo and had a double mastectomy. And she's going to start radiation soon. Like,
that's wild.
Oh, and yeah, can you imagine?
Wow.
Like, she's our age. Like,
that's,
she's
yeah.
our age and has yeah. kids. Like, so it's just, yeah. If you guys notice anything, get it checked out. Everybody, like, you know, it's just because things just move so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then with our healthcare system too, like, oh, I can go on a whole rant about our healthcare system. But like that one point during Jordan's treatment, or when, you know, they were doing scans and all this stuff, there was like 3 weeks in between scans, and she went from having like 2 or 3 nodules on her lungs to having like 12 or 15 or something like that. Just those 3 weeks between scans. And like that, you're just like,
that
it's like, hurry up and wait, like diagnose me, but then I can't do anything for, it's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, wait for insurance to verify this, or mm-hmm. it's just fucking bullshit. Like,
it is.
It's like, you're literally, people are fighting for their lives, but all they have to like think about is like money, or like, is this going to be approved, or can I do this, or
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
not okay.
It's crazy. So, but she ended up, she went into like a hospice home before she passed. And, I did have like, I was home, I think a month or so before she passed away. And so I was able to have like a really nice, like last visit with her.
Mm-hmm.
But then I actually had a trip like planned and I missed her by like 2 days,
mm-hmm.
you know, she died like 2 days before I got back. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was just hard, but jiu-jitsu really, like, gave me a space to, you know, work through that, and, you know, I always would think about how she pushed me to compete, or she encouraged me to do that, so, you know, every time that I compete and I'm on the mat, I do think of her, and I'm like, she'd be so pumped right now, you know? She'd be so pumped right now. So, yeah, that's Jordan.
I love
she was
that.
A gem.
That's so great.
She was a gem.
Yeah, and so being able to come in and do jiu-jitsu and get your mind off of the difficult parts of mm-hmm. feeling that loss. So when you're doing jiu-jitsu, like, how did that all play out? How did you use jiu-jitsu to work through that?
You know, it's kind of, I think we've talked about it before, like getting out of your mind and into your body,
mm-hmm.
and you know. I don't know how to...
Like, being like present.
Explain it. Yeah, just, right? Like, really being present. Because I tried really hard to meditate, and it is very difficult.
I almost
feel like jujitsu is, like a form of meditation. So you're just, like, in the moment, like, thinking about, you know, where, like, where's my hand? Where's my foot? Like, mm-hmm. your body awareness, you're just in that yes. moment, in that movement, figuring out what's next. And... like, there's nothing out. Like, you don't, can't think about anything else. Yeah. It's just
when
that.
I don't get to do jujitsu, I become much more, like, depressed and anxious.
Yeah, same.
It's really hard for me. Like, yeah. you all know, like, I've been going through it, and mm-hmm. the anxiety is, like, hard and all that stuff. And, like, mm-hmm. if I don't get to do jujitsu, if I don't go and I don't get to train, I just feel, like, the worst.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. really hard. And what's hard is also knowing that someday I won't be able to do jujitsu, mm-hmm. and someday I'll have to work through that.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. how that's going to go. Yeah. It's, like, super wild, you know. Our time is very limited, and we just mm-hmm. don't know it. You know, like, your cousin...
who's 30.
Super young. And mm-hmm. this happens all the time, and it becomes more and more common. And I just think that jiu-jitsu is not only good for your mental health, it's also good for our physical health, because it keeps us accountable to other people around us.
Yeah.
So, like, the community that we have, if we know that our partners are injured or mm-hmm. something like that, we're like, hey.
Right.
Don't do
take
that.
Care of yourself. Right. You know, and I think that that's really important. And I think that it's really fun to see, and I hope, like, this comes off, like, fun to see you talk about Jordan, because it feels very much like here, like came alive, you know what I mean? Yeah, and I'm really into that.
Yeah.
I
really wish she could have tried jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I miss her a lot, but... I know that she'd be, you know, proud of me and proud of her kids and, you know, just everything. So.
And you've had other struggles also this mm-hmm. year. So tell us about some of the other things that you want to talk about that have been difficult.
Yeah, so back in September, and I think we touched on this a little bit too, when we were talking about, like, comp prep or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But so in September, my grandma passed away. I went home because my grandma had gone on hospice and she was declining really quickly. And I wanted to get home in time to, you know, see her and say goodbye. So I went home, I think, like, I talked to my mom on a Wednesday, and she was like, she's, you know, she's really just in bed. She's not, like, talking to anybody or, you know. So I just literally bought a flight that night, and I was on the way to the airport, and, like, 12 hours later,
mm-hmm.
and I got home on a Thursday, and, you know, she was on hospice at the house, so people were, like, taking shifts, because she had to get medicine every 2 hours. She had to get, like, a suppository and then, like, oral morphine or something, I don't remember. So when I got there, I was like, I'll take the night shifts because my parents, and they'd been, you know, they're tired. Run ragged and everything. So I slept in the recliner chair next to her for Thursday when I got home Friday night. And then, she passed away really early that morning. So mm-hmm. it was like Saturday morning at like 2:30 or something. I don't remember.
She waited for you.
I knew that it was coming. I mean, working in healthcare, like, you know what you're... I just remember sitting next to her and, like, counting her breaths because I'm, like, basically, like, tracking her respiratory rate. I'm like, all right, it's going to be, like, any time. She's down to, like, 6 respirations a minute. Like, it's just...
Yeah. That's heart-wrenching.
So it was, yeah. And it was... So I was with her. I was holding her hand when she passed away. And... that was hard. mm-hmm. I remember, like, so I knew I was just sitting there and she passed, and then I remember I was just sitting there holding her hand, and I was, like, checking her pulse, and, like, I'm like, is this real?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, went upstairs and got my mom, and what was really beautiful about that and her being on hospice and being able to be home was that, you know, we called all of our family, like my mom's brother and sister, and then my cousins and everything. And everybody just came over, you know, it was like 3-4 in the morning, and we're all together, and, you know, with, So my grandfather and her were married for 62 years.
Mm-hmm.
62 years. So, my plan when I went home was, you know, I'm going to, you know, be with my grandma. And then if she does pass and like my grandpa needs help, like I'm going to stick around and be there for him, because it was always the plan. He was always supposed to go first.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. that was always the plan. Like he was, you know, usually the one in, you know, worse health than my grandma. But I always knew that whenever one of them went, the other one would not be far behind. Mm-hmm. I actually remember the last time when I was home, I think in like July. So they passed away in September. I was home in July, and I remember leaving their house, and I said to BJ, I was like, I have a feeling that that's going to be the last time I see one of them. Mm-hmm. I just like knew, like I just had that feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So after my grandma passed, I stayed home to help with my grandpa, because he's on oxygen. So after she passed away, like everybody came over, but he was sleeping and we didn't want to get him, wake him up yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, finally we went up there, and I like, that was like the most heart wrenching. Cause I remember like just sitting next to him while he's sitting up on the edge of his bed, like with his oxygen on and like in his underwear, you know, from sleep, like,
yeah.
And, you know, he just, it was, I'm like, the, I think one of the only other times I've really seen him cry was at Jordan's funeral. Like that was the first time I really saw him like cry. And he was just like broken. Like it was the saddest thing. So I changed my flights. I, you know, canceled everything. And I, luckily my work was so awesome about it. And they, you know, were like, do what you need to do. So I planned on staying home for like a couple weeks to help my grandpa. So a week after my grandma died was her services. And really funny story, actually, this is making this. So BJ and I were responsible for bringing my grandpa to my grandma's services. And he was on oxygen and he had like a really low tolerance to, you know, walking far. So when we got him, like he walked to the door and we got him sat down and like in a wheelchair and we brought him into the car, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I had to help him get ready. So, you know, I was helping him get his, you know, dress shirt and everything on and his suspenders. And he was always weird about, he didn't want people to see his suspenders. I don't know why. You know, like he would, so you'd want to wear them like underneath his shirt half the time. And then it was a huge pain in the ass, because then when he had to go to the bathroom, he had to like take his shirt off.
Oh my god.
To then take his suspenders down and go to the bathroom. Like,
he's hilarious.
Nut job. But anyway, so we were helping
like
him
her.
Get
he's
ready.
A nut job.
Speaking of the truth up in here.
Me and BJ were helping him get ready, and I got his like suspenders, like, or no, we didn't have his suspenders on, and we had his pants on. He's like, oh, I don't think I need them, I think they fit okay. I'm like, all right, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, because they were the dress pants that had like the adjustment things on the
uh-huh,
side.
Uh-huh.
So he adorable. Was like, I don't think I need them. So he's like, okay. So BJ and I, you know, he stands up and he starts to walk, and then the pants just fall to his ankles. They just fall straight to his ankles. And he just started laughing. And it was the best, because he'd just been, like, so sad. Like,
yeah.
So that was really funny. Anyways, I was like, I just got sidetracked because I thought of that.
I love that. That's fantastic.
But we went to my grandma's little, like, her services. And then I was up with him all night that night, because he was just having trouble sleeping, having trouble breathing. Like, I was sleeping in the room next to him, and I had my phone on. So every time he needed something, he would just call my phone. So I was up with him all night, like, in and out of his room. And then finally at, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, like, I got my mom up. I'm like, we have to, like, he's got to go to the hospital. We have to bring him in. So we called the ambulance, and then he ended up getting admitted to the ICU. And then, like, literally my whole purpose of being there was to, like, take care of him and be there. So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And the staff there was so great. They let me, like, stay there with him, because mm-hmm. I told
very
him,
nice.
I was like, he has not been, like, I'm like, he hasn't been alone at all since my grandma died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't leave him here.
No. Mm-hmm.
So I slept in the ICU with him every night, except for one night he did have to go on a vent, which that was a whole, like,
mm-hmm.
that was not fun to see somebody that you love on event. So he had to go on event. So I did, like, I didn't stay one night because he was, you know, completely sedated, but they were able to remove the vent. And I don't know if you've ever heard of, like, the surge. It's, like, sometimes right before people pass away.
Yeah.
They have, like, this surge of, like, energy, or they're, you know, like, really talkative, or, you know, they have a really good day, or, like, so he had, like, kind of one of those days, and I was like, okay, like, I feel like he's gonna, like, pass away soon. But then he, like, had a rough night, and then he was better the next day, and then, like, he was with my uncle, I think, was there at the hospital with him, and he was like, oh, let's call so-and-so. I want to, you know, tell him something, and he made some phone calls, and my aunt had been, like, really sick, so she wasn't able to go visit him in the ICU, so he, like, called her, and they had a, like, nice talk, which
That's
was really,
really sweet.
Beautiful, because it ended up being, I think, the last time that they talked, because then when I went, when I left the morning, so what was it? Sorry. Getting a little mixed up in my timeline
here.
I
imagine.
You had a lot going on.
Yeah, oh, it's all over the place. So I left one morning. I slept there, and then I left. Me and my uncle, like, traded shifts. My uncle went and sat with him, and then I had to go and bring my mom back to the airport. And he had a rough night, and I told, like, I said to him, I was like, Grandpa, I was like, I'm going to be back. Like, I'll be back soon. And he said, when you get back, I'm not going to be here. And I was like, please don't say that. but when I went back later, like, he was alive, but he wasn't there, you know?
Yeah, right.
So they ended up, you know, taking him off all of the BiPAP and stuff, and they just, you know, let him go. That was, like, his wishes. He didn't want to do event again. He didn't, you know, he was suffering. Like, it was really hard to see him like that.
Yeah.
So I think it was, what, 10 days without my grandma, or no, wait, 17 days, sorry, without my grandma. This was 10 days after her services, but, so yeah, I ended up being home for, like, the entire month of September,
pretty much. You were gone for a long time.
And that was, like, and there's a gym that I train at when I'm home. I, unfortunately, like, with how much was going on, I didn't get to train as much as I wanted, but... Mm-hmm. Like, I just remember, like, those few weeks were, like, some of the most, like, emotional and stressful and, like, just, I don't know, just, like, a roller coaster. And, like, those times that I was able to go to a class and just, like, not think about it was just, it was incredible. I was like, I wish I could do this for hours. So... I was so happy when I finally got to come home and, like, come and be back on
back
the mat with you guys.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing, too, that I love about, like, our little community is, like, people might know you're going through shit, but, like, they don't treat you like it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, want to be, like, oh, like, how are you? Are you okay? Like, I want to get on the mat, and I want you to kick my ass like you normally would. Yeah. Like, don't be nice to me. Like, I'm not here for that.
Yeah.
So that's, like, that's another thing is, like, I feel like when you go through, like, shit like that, it's people kind of walk on eggshells, and they don't know what to say, or they don't know what to do, and, like...
Not
like
at
the
crowd.
Like exactly like when you walk into the gym, I'm like, nothing else matters. I'm here. Like, I'm either gonna kick some ass or get my ass kicked, and I'm pumped about it. And
yeah.
Like, nobody like that's all that matters. We're all just there for jiu-jitsu, and like, and I love that because it's just like a different world that you can just escape to. And so
because people can be very strange about grief and say weird things and do weird things because it's like a topic that people just are not
nobody wants to
I think that's
it.
Like the crying I think when like honestly like if it I'm is, thinking about it's like the idea of somebody crying and I have to console them
or saying the wrong thing
saying the wrong thing that's one
starts the crying.
That's a really hard one.
Oh yeah. I'm just gonna say this story.
Do it.
So I was at the picnic this last summer in Eugene and it was the last summer Megaton was there. Meg's dog had just passed away.
I forgot
about
this.
Yeah, just passed away. It was like a couple days before. We're all sitting at the picnic table talking about country music. Yeah. So Meg's dog had just passed away. And he's there for the seminar and all the whole thing. We're all sitting at the picnic table and we're talking about country music for whatever reason. And he's saying things like, oh, yeah, like my wife left me and all this whatever. And I was like, yeah, and then your dog died. And I was like, damn it.
His face. Oh,
no. His face. He was laughing but crying at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm like, seriously, oh, no. Like I don't see Meg for 2-3 years. And, like, the first thing I, like, say to him is, like, yeah, about country music. And, like, yeah, and your dog died.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, referencing so country bad. Music. It right. was so bad.
Oh,
but he
gosh.
Laughed it off, and it was, like, totally fine. That's like, right. we're God. Friends. Mm-hmm. But I was, like.
Yeah, he has said hello
oh
since
my
then.
God.
He has said hello since then, and everything That's is okay. So but funny. I made a big old faux pas. And it was as it was coming out of my mouth, I knew.
It was
faux
a lot
pas.
Oh my God.
Dog. Way too late. Did you get it?
I put oh, the two. There you go.
Oh.
That's because you just got a new dog.
Oh, that is because I just got a new dog, which we will talk about later. Baby puppy that.
Oh, talk about man. Therapy.
Yeah, talk about
oh
therapy.
Gosh,
no
seriously.
Kidding. That baby.
That was honestly a terrible part of being away. Like, for almost all of September, like, I missed. Jelly oh. so much like
yes.
I miss BJ too sorry BJ
BJ no.
BJ doing the most
he came for a few days he came for my grandma's mm-hmm. services but yeah I mm-hmm. miss the dog so much because mm-hmm. they just know that something's wrong and
well,
they
it's like your
like
children
comfort. Yeah
yeah
that's part of it is obviously you miss BJ but like your dog is your child like
yeah,
come on
yes. yeah seriously yeah. So yeah that's really funny though about well, not funny that his dog died, but the whole situation. Sorry. Sorry, Megaton.
Sorry, Megaton.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit.
So you went through so much grief, mm-hmm. like, through all of those different things,
mm-hmm.
and still made it through jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And so
I, like, my grandpa loved hearing about it, too.
Right.
Like, when I was home, like, I showed him some videos from other competitions. And, like, one of the reasons, too, that I was trying to get to training when I was home, because there was that tournament, like,
right.
in the beginning of October.
Exactly.
And I was like, this is supposed to be, hopefully, my last tournament as a white belt.
Uh-huh.
And, like, so my grandpa, like, he was excited about it. And he was like, cool. He's like, that's so awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
And so, like, I got home, it was, like, I was home for, like, a week before that tournament, and I was, like, I don't know if I should freaking do this. And then,
right.
again, just, like, when Jordan, like, pushed me to compete, like, mm-hmm. when I first started competing, I was, like, this might suck, but, like, my grandpa was so excited to hear about how it went that I was, like, I can't not do
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I did end up winning the gold in the no-gi, right? Yes, I won the gold in the no-gi,
yeah.
but I got third with the gi.
Yeah, like, you still had a good performance.
Yeah.
A really
yeah.
good performance.
So, but after that, like, I feel like I just threw myself, like, into jiu-jitsu and, like, training. And then, like, I started working with the nutritionist back in August, and then things kind of fell apart in September. But,
we all go through
okay,
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was just a mess. But I, like, cut 20 pounds
yeah.
like I'm working my butt off literally
right
my
way.
Butt's so small like, I'm like oh my gosh
dude, I haven't been lifting
like,
enough
start squats start
yeah,
squatting more
lift program.
Get that Heather Woods back
oh my god
you know what I mean?
But
Heather
we're all looking at it come
Jen
on
Holmberg but she
got a nice one.
Oh my gosh yeah,
yeah.
she does
yeah
working out just
but,
doing squats
yeah so I feel like I freaking busted my ass. I mean Jen trained hard with me
mm-hmm.
she like I didn't see you forever because you were up in Portland training and stuff.
Also training hard.
Yeah,
also training hard,
yeah.
but I was away for a long time. It's like you were gone for a long time.
Right.
We saw each other in passing,
yeah.
basically, and then I left and then didn't see you again for 2 months.
Right. It's crazy. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just been a whirl. I haven't rolled with
year.
You in forever.
I know. And what's interesting is I saw you back before you lost all this weight is mm-hmm. the last time that we were really, like, training hard.
Right.
Oh, right.
And so
right.
it, I really... really noticed it when we all came back and you were wearing your no-gi stuff the other day. I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
like,
yeah. Like it just like
strong. Well, that's how it works though.
Yeah.
You notice it first, and then it's like the people closest to you that like see like coworkers, mm-hmm. they see yeah. the, and then it's other people after that.
Right.
And then because we wear the gi, mm-hmm. I hadn't seen you without a gi on in a very long time too, on top of it.
Yeah.
So
it's wild to look at like videos from my first competition to this most recent one, because I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Like,
so then when you like, pick up things that weigh the amount that mm-hmm. you lost, isn't it incredible?
Oh my gosh, it's wild. Yeah,
like
it's wild.
So I remember that's when I started insane. Really losing weight, and I would be getting like dog food from the store, and I was like, this dog food weighs like 20 pounds, like I've lost this. And then I remember when I had a bag of dog food and then a big bag of kitty litter and like those two things together, I was like, this is like 40 pounds, like I lost this weight. It came off my body.
That's crazy
to think of it that
that's
way.
What jiu-jitsu does though, like you and you worked with a nutritionist to help with your diet too,
which like huge.
That's what really is the unlock, I think.
I
so,
think so too.
Jiu-jitsu gets you really far in just like basic weight loss,
right?
But the unlock is the nutritionist.
Yeah, because I was not eating nearly enough.
No,
like for the amount either. Like I was exerting myself at jiu-jitsu, like I was not like giving myself enough protein. Like I realized I was like, holy shit, I am not taking in enough like calories.
That's
like,
what happened to Jen.
So I felt like for a while, I felt like I was literally force feeding myself. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm really struggling to get to like 1800 calories or whatever it was when I first started.
It's hard.
But yeah, so
it's because you're a lot fuller too from all of the fiber, like a lot more fiber and the water, and between extra fiber and water, you're like full.
Yeah, so, I mean, and, like, all of this started, like, after we had that podcast about comp prep, or, and then, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to reach out to my friend, and then I fucking did it.
And you did
so,
it.
Like,
that's so exciting.
So, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I dropped a weight class. I almost dropped two in the Nogi.
Yeah.
And so I probably will for next one, because it's only, like, a couple pounds.
It's not too bad. March 11th.
Yeah, but it is crazy. So like just the difference I feel like from my last competition at White Belt in October versus this weekend, I feel like a totally different person.
Yeah.
And like, and we were talking about this the other day, me and Jen, like how even though I've lost 20 pounds, like I do not feel lighter. Like I feel like heavier almost when I'm rolling. I feel stronger. And then, like, I rolled with Tim, and I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I do feel smaller.
You will start to notice it with some people like that. I remember I was losing weight, and I was like, oh, I used to be able to just hold this person down because I was heavier, and now I cannot. Tim's one of those.
Yeah.
Tim's strong.
Very strong.
He's strong. I'm like, man, he already had, like, 40 pounds on me. Now he's got, like, 60 pounds on me. I'm like, wow, that's a big difference.
It's big. And David's weighing more these days, too.
Yes.
So when I'm rolling with him trying to get from underneath his mount, like, forget about it. It's the worst. It's the worst. He's weighing 177.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Jesse's heavy right now,
My
too.
Gosh. And he weighs more than me.
Yeah,
David does.
David's been, like, actually,
That's
like,
crazy.
Eating. Yeah. He's eating.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good for him.
Yes.
Now we just need to convert all of our mass that we've cultivated. We need to start harvesting. So, like, we need to go weightlift so that we can convert it. Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop cultivating and start harvesting.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah, and so the weight loss, do you feel like... do you feel like now you go to do something and you move your body and you're like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah. And dude, like, so I fucking hate running so much.
Oh,
I've never hated anything more than running. And I know a lot of it's mental, but I just cannot stand it. So I don't do it. And I agreed to do this freaking 15K road race back home. It's like this
What
famous...
is wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it because I regret it so much already. But I made it.
Mallory, I have so much to talk about on the podcast today, like her bringing it up. I don't want to talk about it, though.
I'm so upset. No.
Anyway.
It's like this big thing. Like, people travel from all over. It's like the biggest road race in the country or something.
And,
it starts
in the
ends
middle
at a
of nowhere.
Brewery. It ends at a brewery. It's in Utica, New York. Saranac Brewery. Anyways, people from Kenya win it every year. They run 9 miles in, like, 37 minutes. It's ridiculous.
There's much better running.
Yeah. So I haven't ran in like months, right? And then I'm like, all right, I have to start training for this stupid race. And Trags, my coach, trainer, nutritionist, friend. Her name's Christy Traglia.
Oh, okay.
We call her Trags. She was my softball teammate. So like, I just call her Trags.
I was making sure that's what I actually heard. Yeah. That's incredible. I was like, how do you like, get that kind of a nickname? Yeah.
Shout out Christy Traglia. One Body Performance is her business. She's wonderful.
And I'm seeing the results over here.
She's great. I've
got to post
her.
side by side.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
We should. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones like in Mikey, those are crazy. Yeah. It's crazy looking. Anyways, I just forgot where we were.
You're doing that damn run.
The stupid run that you don't want to talk about.
Running. Yes. Okay, well, it's going to suck. It's like in July, I think. Yeah, good job.
It's in July?
It's in July.
The 15K?
15K.
So what is that? Like
9 miles.
9 miles? That's not that bad. Yeah. That's not terrible.
It's not, but it is bad for me.
I mean, you could walk that.
Have you, what's the longest you ever run?
Like in one go?
Yes.
I've done like a 10K, 6 miles.
Okay, so you're going to be fine.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But anyway.
So how long?
So a few years. I don't know.
Oh, that's
so when are you running?
In July.
I know, but what do you have a training schedule?
Currently. So that's what's funny. So I hadn't run since like, I don't know, summertime, and I hated it because it's the worst ever. And but then I was talking to Trags, and I was like, oh, I have to start running. I have to start training for this thing. And she's like, all right, we're just going to shoot small. She's like, run a half mile. Just go run a half mile. And I was like, I think I can do that. And she was like, trust me when I say, she was like, think about this. You're going to run with 20 less pounds on your body. She's like, it's going to feel different. And I was like, oh, I did not think of that. Mm-hmm. And it was different. I still hated it so much. It was still the worst. Mm-hmm. But I was like, wow, this is actually easier. And I don't want to die as much.
Do you have good running shoes?
I do. I have some Brooks running
shoes. Some Brooks? Oh, okay, yeah, nice. Yeah, so just key. Because I love them more than anything, mm-hmm. Wild Coast Running Company,
who sponsors
some of our stuff for self-defense, which I am like super in love with, mm-hmm. they have all kinds of running stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And I've been in there a few times to talk to everyone down there for mm-hmm. different things. And their store is really nice. They have good like sports bras and stuff too. And like things that like I would actually use for like jujitsu. Like if I needed to go try something on, because like I tend to like order the same one thing that I've always had, and I order 10 of them until because it fits, you know, whatever. And like I love their selection though, and the things were like cute. The shoes were great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's downtown.
Okay.
Yeah,
downtown
love it.
Downtown Coos Bay.
Downtown Coos Bay.
Wild Coast.
Yeah, running. And I think that like they have the treadmill and everything down there. Like they can help fit you in a shoe and all that thing. Cool. I'm pretty sure they do that. Don't quote me on it yet.
Okay.
But anyway.
You should just go check just in case.
I'll just go check. Okay. So fantastic. I think the other thing that we wanted to talk about today too, in terms of mental health, mm-hmm. because you're obviously physically getting in fantastic mm-hmm. shape. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you have been working on is your mental health. Mm-hmm. And you, especially after having to go through so many things, mm-hmm. one after the other, after the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to take in. And so you decided that you needed to make some changes in your mm-hmm. mental health. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. On top of all of this, my friend Loretta, you guys know, she's been sick for a really long time. And I've been helping care for her the past few months, and she passed away, last month, a few weeks before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After like my grandparents passed away, and like she had been really sick for a long time, so we knew she didn't have much time left. I was just carrying so much, and I was just felt everything just felt heavy all the time, and I felt just depressed like all the time. Like I'd cry on the way to work, cry on my way home from work. Like the only time I was able to like escape that was in jujitsu. And I just, like, could not I couldn't shake it other places. Like, I would get anxiety at work, especially, like, being at a hospital. And, like, after staying in the hospital with my grandpa for 10 days, like, I, like, was straight up having just, like, anxiety attacks, like, at work. It was terrible. So I kind of, like, dealt with it for a while. And then I was like, I need to just, like, cave in and just, like, go on medication. Because I do therapy, too. Which I haven't done therapy in a while now, so I need to get back in that.
It's okay. But, sometimes breaks are okay, too.
Yeah, I took a break around the holiday season. Things were hectic. But anyways.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's on my to-do list for tomorrow, to schedule a therapy appointment.
Sweet.
So I finally, my doctor put me on Zoloft, which was a struggle for the first few weeks, which you guys know.
Yeah, it's tricky.
There was another tournament that I was going to do, the one that you guys went to in December. And I didn't do that partially because I had just started this medication and I was feeling like shit. It was, you know, I was nauseous and...
It's not fun.
It was really hard to adjust to. I would literally be like working with my patients in the morning. I would feel like I was dozing off. I was so exhausted all the time. It was terrible.
That's what happened when I first started taking anti-anxiety meds.
Yeah.
And the ones I'd take like when I first was taking them, it was like I felt like I had to sleep. And sometimes like in the very beginning, it was like I just slept for a couple hours because I could not stay awake.
Right.
It's incredible. And I just like, sometimes I don't think people understand how real it is when you have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard. I had to have my mom come watch my kids when I started. I couldn't get out of bed for 3 days. Yeah. I slept.
Ugh. And it takes a while to get you like accustomed to it.
Yeah.
So
it's not easy.
I like finally in the past like couple weeks, I feel like especially like I'm finally like, feel lighter. Like I just feel like I don't have this like cloud hanging over me all the time, you know. And I feel like I'm feeling happier and better, which is nice, especially since I have not been like, I haven't had therapy in a little bit, so it's nice to know that is helping. So
yeah, that's really good.
I resisted it for a long time, so if there's anybody out there who feels like, you know, some sort of crutch or they're resistant to trying it, but they're struggling. Like there's no shame in needing medication.
No.
There's no shame at all. So I'm glad that I made that decision to, you know, to try it because I do feel like I'm a lot less depressed.
Yeah.
And
your brain has to rewire itself. Like the thing is staying inside of negative thought, like those loops like that, it will just continue to solidify. So the longer that you have untreated depression or any other mental health issue, the more likely that those neural pathways will build. And so like, because I lived an incredible portion of my life with untreated depression and all these other things, it's going to take me a very long time to change all the neural pathways that have built over the years have those things. And it's almost impossible for me if I didn't have medication. I don't think that I would be able to figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and I waited for years and years and shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really good that you wanted to talk about it because I think a lot of people resist it for various different reasons, but it's there for a reason and it actually is going to help your brain. It doesn't mean that like everyone should do it necessarily. Like you have to do it if it's right for you. And also if you don't feel good doing it, don't do it. Like I remember my provider, he was like, my first provider that did it, when she prescribed me my first one, she was like, you'll know if it's the right one because you actually feel good. And, there are some others that I had been taking there. I was like, I don't feel good at all. This is terrible.
Not working.
Yeah.
And I feel like it sucks to have to go through that of figuring it out, but it's worth it. But I think I didn't make enough space for how sick I was going to be when I started it.
Right.
And
the transition.
Yeah. That transition time is actually really rough. It's rougher than you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I thought,
it makes you want to give up. It makes you want to not
do it. It doesn't last forever, so it's worth doing it.
That's the thing. It's going to make, it's like, it's worse for a little while, but then it like, finally, it really will like make its way. But I also feel like a big portion of a lot of anxieties and like feeling sad and depressed and those things mm-hmm. also can just straight up come from eating trash.
Yeah.
Treating your body absolutely. Like trash and all those things. So like, not look at yourself. Your system. Yeah. Like look at yourself before like you make like decisions. Like mm-hmm. I didn't take medication for a very long time because I was like, my diet is trash.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. if you go out and drink on Saturday and mm-hmm. night, you're going to feel like trash the next day yeah. and for the next couple days because like that's hard on your body. Mm-hmm. So if you like, you have to look at those other things and then mm-hmm. also learning about your own body. Like mine is really sensitive, I mm-hmm. guess. I just am sensitive to everything,
yeah. Yeah.
sensitive to food, sensitive to medication, sensitive to like all the stuff. So mm-hmm. for me, that's just how I am. And so I have to live with that and right. learn. And that's hard. Like mm-hmm. I have to do all the things.
Yeah.
yeah. Same. Seriously. It's rough.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like jujitsu. I wish that I did it sooner.
Yeah, I know. Same.
Just like that. Because I mean, I should have gone on it after Jordan died. I should have been on it before that. But yeah. like, it's just, I'm glad that I finally did. So mm-hmm. I encourage anybody, if they feel like it might benefit them, to explore it.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I'm in love with everything that you had to share with us today, Mel.
As am I.
Thanks, guys. Well, thanks for being a safe space to talk about things.
Anyways.
I just think it's important and, like, relatable. I mean, everybody deals with grief in different ways. And, like, jujitsu is just something that's really saved me over the past couple of years. And I am so grateful that it came into my life when it did. So,
yay. We're grateful for you.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, I just feel like we're all getting better every day together, and that's what this place is for, right?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
better.
Mallory's also going to kick all of our asses in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm worried about
the improvement. I'm like,
I haven't rolled with her in a while, so I'm not going to let her have an inch.
You can't. Dude,
I tried. Okay, so I'm rolling with Henry.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Like trying to stay on mount. Don't that little wiry dude, this fancy hair.
Mm-hmm. He's like a little pipe cleaner.
he just like totally turned me over, and I was like, I am embarrassed for myself. I'm never letting him do this again. And now he knows it's coming. But then it's like, the thing is he's getting better at jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
like,
he is.
He's getting better, and now it's going to make me better, which is good for me because... Honestly, that's my weight class. That's my weight class. He's a 17-year-old male. That's my weight class.
Tall and lanky.
It works for me. I'm really glad I have a lot of good training partners. We're getting a lot of good people in the gym
I'm
right now.
So yeah. happy.
Yeah. Dude, the gym is popping off. Things at the gym are so good
Get
right now.
In it.
So great.
Get here. Fundamentals is huge. There are like 20 people in
it's
there.
It's so awesome. Freaking mats cool.
Mats are
to see.
Full. The
beach is coming on Monday. Finally. So excited.
So he won't be a jiu-jitsu widower anymore.
Right. Well, hopefully.
Men are widowers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just double checking.
Yeah, hopefully. So he agreed to do a 2-week trial. So we're going to take it from there.
That's fantastic.
So I will take it, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, it's something that I'm really passionate about. I was like, if you had something, I would at least try it. So I finally guilted him into it. And it took 2 years.
He knows all the subs, though.
But here we are. I know.
He's at the freaking competition going like, oh, that was a good wrist lock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, he knows
that
things.
BJ. It was just an ankle things. Lock. And I'm like, what the fuck? And
BJ.
He's right. He knows the difference between the Kimura and the Americana.
Stop.
Yep. He's learning. It's like, that was like the best. You and BJ, like after I finished my rounds, looking at the sideline and like BJ's just so excited because.
Does he still have his mustache too?
No, thank God. I've been telling him, like, I come home from class, like the past couple months, I come home from class. I'm like, BJ, I'm telling you, like, I'm getting better. Like, I'm like, I feel so good. I was like, I feel so good. I'm getting better. And he's like, that's great. Like, I'm so excited. For you. And then I was like, I was like so pumped because I was like, I'm gonna show you. I was like, you're gonna see. I was like, I might get my butt kicked, but I'm so much better, I swear. And then I fucking went off and he was so excited and it was just really fun.
He was very,
I love this.
Like, just like seeing excited. His like happy face, it just melted he my
was
heart.
So I impressed. Like how Mallory was super excited to be like, look, buddy.
I know. I literally.
Watch how good I
she
am.
She gave him the pop, look, pop, buddy.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling yeah. you.
I'm anytime you. Anyone, yeah. Look, buddy. Excuse me, pal. Any one of those.
You'll see.
Yeah.
I'll show them. I'll show them all.
Like your villain, like
yes.
I like to think of the villain fingers for Braxton. Pet prison.
Pet prison.
For the kennel.
Dog kennel.
He calls it pet prison, and he does it with villain fingers.
Oh, that's
he
the
loves
cutest.
It. And he corrects me. Prison. Mimi, you mean pet prison?
Love it.
Gosh,
it's
I
so
love
great.
It. I love all of this.
He's hilarious.
I love him. Okay, this was a fantastic
was
conversation
this
today.
Nice. This was
we have so many good things going on. Mm. I am going to put a precursor at the Ooh. Front of the podcast instead of going off about all the things because we've got Battle Grappling coming up.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got a lot of stuff at the gym and a lot yes. of announcements and all kinds of fun stuff. So I'll do yep. that at the beginning.
Camps. Camp,
but I am going to just plug Battle Grappling one yes. more time at the end yes. of my podcast here yep. because Battle Grappling is where it's at. I'm going to be there. Queen of Hearts Tournament, February 11th.
Hell
I'm going
yeah.
to be competing. It's at 10th Planet Portland. Awesome. You can get spectator tickets at battlegrappling.com and you can put my name in and I get some monies back, which would be super cool. So if you want to do that, that'd be awesome. But also you can watch it on Flow Grappling. You can go in, if you have an account, like you can go in there, like Flow Grappling is like supporting the show. So this is really
That's
exciting.
That's really cool.
And the people that are working on the show are fantastic. So Laura is, like running a bunch of this promotion with Hunter mm-hmm. and they're really nice people. I've like met them in passing like lots of different times throughout my jiu-jitsu career and mm-hmm. had like conversation here and there. So I'm super excited for everything that they're doing and I think that it's a lot of fun to see like this stuff in the like mm-hmm. Pacific Northwest. Yes. Like I'm yeah. just super yeah. it's a super fun thing. I remember when Submission Underground came out and I got on like an prelim like whatever
Love
like
it.
Super long time ago and I was really like proud of myself for that and so I'm really excited for this. It's like a fun part of like my mm-hmm. career to do some of these bigger things
I
and
like
challenge
so,
myself
it's so fun
because it's... I said to myself that I was like I'm gonna be so good at jiu-jitsu. I'm gonna get so good that my idols are gonna be my opponents.
Yes.
That's what I had said so long mm-hmm. ago and like I have like really found a way to get to where I want to go in jiu-jitsu. And so I'm just really having a fun time with it. So I'm training hard and I want to put on a great performance for everybody.
I
and
love this for you.
I'm super so into excited. It. So Battle Grappling, February 11th, there's tickets, battlegrappling.com. And they have Instagram, Battle Grappling. Go check them out. There's all kinds of shows coming up. They have some opens for other shows they're going to have. So go apply, get on it, y'all.
Hey.
And then we'll see everyone for March 11th, Grappling Industries. We'll pod before then, but
yeah.
get your shit together if you're going to compete.
Let's do it.
Coach Katie says, get it together.
Professor Katie.
I know,
Professor
but
Katie.
This is Coach Katie was
Coach
saying
Katie.
It.
The whistle.
Yeah, she's with the whistle. Yeah, here's me with the whistle. Okay, off we be before we get kicked out of our podcast. All
okay,
right.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. It was not the accent. It was not the appropriate accent. Anyway.
I don't know what that
was.
I started to say it and then I was like, wait, I would sound like an idiot if I said this thing. Anyway. So anyway, after that fiasco that just happened.